I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday. And man, if there were only some things we had to talk about today. A bridge collapsed. We're about to talk about that. I will actually have a shipping expert on about a half hour from now, help you and me understand a little bit more about that industry. But we'll address that. We'll address the theories surrounding it. We'll address the communist response to it. Yes, we're going to talk about office space emptying in America's cities. We're going to talk about America running out of juice. NBC fired Ronna McDaniel. We have so much to get to tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to obviously begin here. What else could you possibly begin with? You woke up to the same news I woke up to this morning. Roll over, say hi to the wife. Kind of grab your phone, shake the cobwebs out, make sure the world didn't come to an end while you were asleep. And what's this? There's a bridge in Baltimore that went down? How big of a bridge? What? It's the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's over a mile long. And then we all have seen the video of it. A large ship, a cargo ship, runs into the bridge. The bridge collapses. People dead. Now, I am going to deal with the specifics, the nitty gritty of shipping and ports and things like that with our expert here in about a half hour. I want to first discuss something. I want to discuss this story in a little bit of a different way. Institutions. Let's talk about the institutions of a nation. What are they? What does that mean? The institutions of a nation. Well, whether you're a small tribe or a large, powerful country, you will have institutions, and those institutions will really decide the direction of the country. An institution can be media. It can be how information is disseminated in any society, whether it's a tiny tribe, you got men on horseback, or whether or not it's CNN, the Jesse Kelly Show. How is information disseminated in your society? Who is disseminating the information? Media is an institution. Religion is an institution. Your government is an institution. The national security apparatus, that's an institution. The education system, that's an institution. And if these institutions are good and they're led by good people who feel like they have a duty to the country and they're merit-based and they want to produce the best of the best, if you have a nation with strong institutions, you will have a strong nation. If you have a nation with bad institutions, well, that's going to mean bad, very bad things for your country. Do you remember the vaccine being safe and effective? Just stay with me. It's going to come back to the bridge. You remember that, right? The lies and how pervasive the lies were. You remember Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation? Remember that? Look, we could do this all night. You already understand where I'm going with this. We have been warning about the loss of institutional trust on this show for a very, 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 very long time. The American institutions and the American people are separating from each other. And that's not the fault of the American people. That is 1,000% the fault of the institutions themselves. It's not as if our institutions are just kind of dumb, maybe a little corrupt. Over the years, you, me, we've come to realize many of our institutions are actually hostile to us, working against us. And I've been, how many times have you heard me sit behind this microphone and warn that is going to create a huge problem for the country. And one of the major reasons it's going to create a huge problem for the country is, what if something really bad happens? How many times have you heard me say that? What if there is a natural disaster? What if there is a huge terrorist attack? What if there is World War III? What if there is an actual legitimate pandemic that might wipe out 10% of the population? What if there is a big thing that happens? And a big thing is always going to happen, right? Eventually, there's going to be a big thing. Well, if a big thing happens and you live in a country where the people don't trust the institutions, that is going to create a massive problem because the people don't have anything, any official institution they can trust. And without that, without something we can firmly rely on, we will come up with anything and everything on our own. And I'll be honest with you, nothing can be dismissed. Nothing can be dismissed. And why can't it be dismissed? If I tell you right now, if I sit behind the microphone right now and I say, I have figured out what happened today. And here's what happened. The Chinese, they were working in conjunction with Venezuela and George Soros himself and Tyson Chicken. And they all came up with a conspiracy. They all came up with an operation. And the operation was designed to shut down the port of Baltimore to help China's chicken industry and help Tyson as well. You know, something crazy like that. If I were to come up with something like that, you may call me nuts. You probably should call me nuts. But what you absolutely cannot do, and this is the problem, what you cannot do is you cannot go shoot down my claims by citing any official sources in the United States of America. And that's a problem. The official sources can't be trusted. Therefore, there's nobody you could bring to me. There's no official institution you could bring to me and say, Jesse, Tyson Foods and China and Venezuela, that's a little ridiculous. Come on. How could you say that? After all, the FBI said it wasn't terrible.
The FBI, on very first, looking at and assessing this matter from an investigative standpoint, I want to be clear that there is no specific or credible information to suggest that there are ties to terrorism in this incident. The FBI has been part of this response from the beginning.
Now, how can you trust that? It's the FBI. The FBI has been attacking and lying to the American people for years now. And I want to be clear, I don't believe this is terrorism either. I believe from all the experts I've talked to today, and again, we're going to have one on about 20 minutes from now, I believe this is a series of things gone really, really poorly. And this is a gigantic ship that has the destructive power of a bomb, and things went bad. And that's what I believe. However, if you believe something different, if you're sitting there right now and you're saying, no, Jesse, it was a secret CIA plot in conjunction with the Biden administration to pass a new infrastructure bill, what I absolutely cannot do is point a finger at you and say, no, it isn't, you deranged conspiracy theorist. Quit being a nut job. Get off the internet. How could I possibly tell you that when I don't have any official institutions I can trust either? Whatever your crackpot theory is, I really can't call it crackpot. Now, can I? Because I don't live in a country where I have institutions that can be trusted. And this is the real problem. Don't get me wrong. That it is a tragedy what happened. The loss of life is a tragedy. The loss of money, not just for Baltimore, for America, is a tragedy. The bridge being gone is a tragedy. Shoot, the increased traffic that's going to come from the bridge. Look, it's all bad. It's all really, 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 really bad. But think about it this way. I want you to think about it this way. What if instead of 1:30 a.m., which is when all this went down, 1:30 Eastern time a.m., what if instead it was 8:30 a.m.? Four lanes. It's four lanes on that road. Stack traffic up on 1.6 miles? It's a very long bridge.
stack traffic up bumper to bumper, not at all unheard of on the Francis Scott Key Bridge at 8:30 a.m., bumper to bumper traffic. I'm not a mathematician. In fact, I'm a moron, but what is that? 1,000 people on that bridge? Chris says more, probably more. What kind of a conversation are we having today? The water was 30 degrees. If 1,000 people went into the water and 1,000 people stayed in the water, gone. We have a crisis, and the crisis is not specifically a bridge going into the water. The crisis is we don't have institutions anymore we can ever trust to tell us the truth. And without that, we're just blowing in the wind. We're floating around and we might land anywhere. And that is a big deal. And that's why people like me have been calling for a COVID reckoning forever. Public trials, arrests of government officials. I've said these things over and over again because institutional trust must be regained or we don't have a country. And you're seeing that all over the place right now. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this and the communist response to it before we get to our expert, before I get to any of that. Speaking of COVID and institutions, I don't trust medical institutions anymore. How could I? How could you? Frankly, you're a fool if you look at America's traditional medical institutions and trust them now. I've chosen to go natural. Natural herbal supplements wherever I can. I understand medications may be necessary from time to time, but for me, my health, I go to chalk. That's why I take a male vitality stack every day. Male vitality stacks are a lot more than just getting your T levels up. It's getting all the vitamins, minerals you need in your body, and they're natural herbal supplements. Natural. What are you looking to improve upon in your life? Men, women, you're working out, you're young, you're old, whatever you are, whoever you are, Chalk has natural herbal supplements to make your life better, and they have huge discounts on subscriptions, so go get one. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, talking about trust in institutions. Bridge goes down. People go crazy with their different theories on things, and none of them can be refuted. Again, remember, you can email the show, by the way, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com.
I got this email yesterday. We were talking ISIS and Russia. Jesse, I woke up this morning for the alarm clock. First thought of the day is when ISIS, a dose of attack. He goes into this long email about how he thinks it wasn't ISIS that committed the terrorist attack in Russia. And I can't refute that, what he said. Why? I'm the one who believes it was, because when ISIS takes credit for an attack, historically, it was ISIS who did it. They do not have a history of taking credit for attacks they didn't do. But how in the world could I tell this guy he's nuts when all the institutions we should be able to trust to tell us the truth lie to us without end? This is the problem. And besides, I think we all know why the bridge went down today. That became abundantly clear when Joe Biden spoke.
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge very clearly fell because Joe Biden chose to take a train over it. And because the Francis Scott Key Bridge doesn't actually have train tracks, the bridge was not able to withstand the weight of Joe Biden's train, and it fell into the... Obviously, I'm joking, but these are the people who lead our country. This is, you know, the president of the United States, he said this today. And again, I believe this. I believe this is a bunch of horrible things that went wrong all at once. And I'll explain my thinking on that in a moment. But he said this today. How could you trust his word when just yesterday he told you, Donald Trump told you, to inject bleach into your cell?
We're going to rebuild that port together. This time we have no other indication, no other reason to believe there's any intentional act here.
And I also don't believe it was an intentional act. But how could any American believe Joe Biden when he says that? Okay, forget about Joe Biden.
You're going to believe the transportation secretary?
If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or it would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality, and I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the reconnecting communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away.
You going to trust the Rear Admiral? I think he and his husband are still on maternity leave. You can't trust them, can you? This is a crisis, and the crisis is not a ship. It's not a bridge. It's actually much worse, and it's much bigger than that. You, the American citizen, me, the American citizen, we do not trust our institutions, and we should not trust our institutions. That's the criminal. That's the crisis. Our institutions aren't trustworthy. They lie without end, and they've proven themselves to be hostile to us. And so when a real thing comes up, whatever that thing is, we're lost. Blowing in the wind. It's where we are. Just blowing around. Now, let's deal with what I do believe happened. I'm not a shipping expert. I've talked to plenty of them today. I know a little bit about a little bit, and we are going to deal with the shipping expert about 5 minutes from now. We have a shipping expert coming on, and he's going to break down the ship in a lot. But look, this kind of power is frightening, and I'm going to say something to you that I was told today, and it is true. So I'm not trying to make you afraid of bridges, but I'm just going to say something to you. A ship of this size and weight, there is no bridge on planet Earth that can withstand a ship of this size and weight running into it. These things are huge, like 90,000 tons, 100,000 tons, depending on the ship. It's enormous. It's an amount of mass and force that no man-made thing can withstand. And look, I don't want to say it this way, but the truth is, accidents do happen. When you're dealing with mechanical things, when you're dealing with people, accidents, terrible things do happen. Did people screw up here? Oh, I have no doubt about that. That'll come out in the coming days, in the coming months, during the investigations. I'm sure that people screwed up here. I have no doubt about that, but that's what I believe about it. But if you have a different theory, I certainly can't call you an idiot. How could I? I mean, look, did you see this from the AP today? Look what they're already doing. The communists is something else, man. AP ran an article on Francis Scott Key today after the bridge fell, made sure that you knew that Key, whose family owned people and who owned enslaved people, oh, it's all right there in the article. And maybe you're angry about that kind of stuff. Just always remember, the communist is able to capitalize on tragedy, on human tragedy, in a way that you are not, because the communist doesn't believe in the concept of human tragedy. When you're an anti-human, when your entire religion is against humanity itself, well, how could there be a human tragedy? It would be like you. It would be like if I told you that, oh, there was this terrible tragedy today. 1,000 mosquitoes died in front of my home. You would look around and say, "What? Where's the tragedy? I hate mosquitoes. I kill them all the time." That's how the communist looks at humanity. So when a bridge goes down, if you're at the AP, you sit down and all you see is opportunity. More opportunity to destroy. Can't wait for the new George Floyd bridge to cross over the harbor. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. All right. Now, before we get to our expert, maybe with all this stuff in the news, maybe you're finding it hard to sleep at night. That's only because you haven't gotten a hold of my pillow yet. Maybe you're worried right now about international shipping, and that would be understandable. Goods coming from overseas. Well, that's why you only deal with my pillow, because it's made in America, baby. And their Giza Dream sheets on sale right now. Don't cheat yourself on the sheets. We go get our My Pillows and we get our My Pillow mattresses, and then we get these garbage sheets. The sheets are the most important part. Get some Giza Dream Sheets, $59.98 for a queen size set. King size, just $10 more. Here's what you need to do. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special Square and use the promo code Jesse, because that also gives you free shipping. So you get the sale price, plus you get free shipping. Oh, and my slippers, 60% off. Go ahead and snatch up a couple pairs of those bad boys while you're there. All right? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Okay, so that was a lot of, you know, trust and institution talk, and a lot of talk about bridges and boats. But the truth is, as I explained already, I don't know squat about this stuff. So let's talk to someone who knows everything about this stuff. I think Ross knows more about this stuff than anybody I know. Joining me now, Ross Kennedy, CEO of Fortis Analysis. He's going to make you and me a lot smarter when it comes to the world of shipping. So we'll take everything Ross says and we'll act like we came up with it, and we'll sound really smart in front of our friends. Okay, Ross, let's begin here, setting aside all the speculation today. How is it possible that a boat that weighs 100,000 plus tons can run into the side of a bridge?
Well, I mean, I think that's the million-dollar question that everybody's got, right? Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, but you're talking about something that's, you know, roughly 3-4 football fields long, you know, fully laden. It's going to kind of barely clear, you know, the span of the bridge from a height perspective. There's not that much space really between, you know, the pylons and the bridge supports that actually anchor into the riverbed. And, so it's like a big thing going at another big thing with a lot less margin of error than you expect. What we, you know, do know based on the video footage, based on some of the, you know, accurate reporting that's come out, ship, you know, cut its lines with the tugs, 17 minutes before the collision. It was right at the mark where the ship was, you know, had mandatory escort from the tugs that then started moving under its own power. About 10 minutes prior to, the first collision, they had their first sort of issue with the, what's called the propulsion system, or, you know, the engine and the propeller, seemed to get it back online. And, you know, then, you know, 1-2 minutes before the collision actually occurred, you had a mix of, things happening where, you know, sort of several things concurrently happened, right? Power was lost, regained during the time that the power was initially recovered. You can see it in the video that's going around social media. Ship goes full dark, you know, what they call full dark. And as soon as the engines fired back, they went into full reverse thrust, tried to turn the ship, lost power again, and by then it was too late. You see some, what appears to be unusual activity, with the ship, but that's called a prop walk, like walking down the road, prop walk. And so when you have a ship in reverse and you've got the rudder in a certain position, and particularly a ship like this, that's only got a single screw or one big propeller in the water, you're going to get a very weird, it's almost like a tail sliding in a car, type of effect where kind of the back end goes out and the ship cuts at an angle. You know, power was restored again just moments before impact. You can see the ship start to try to turn away from the pylon. By then it was too late. So the mechanisms by which this happens are pretty well known. What I think a lot of, you know, is kind of opening up the potential for foul play or some other issues in people's minds is, they don't really understand, you know, the interconnectedness of all the systems on a ship, as well as the communications protocols the pilots and crew follow when they're in a pretty narrow corridor like this near infrastructure. The second thing is the ship does seem to behave kind of erratically, right? It's not moving in a straight line. And so that's where kind of a lot of the speculation has emerged about, you know, what may have happened. Was it a cyber attack? Was it a mechanical failure? Was it human error? Generally speaking, when you're talking about big, splashy maritime incidents like this, it comes down to a mechanical malfunction or human error. The estimates anywhere from 75 to 90% of maritime incidents involve human error. So that's kind of where I've landed at the moment, pending further information. Obviously, more details will trickle out. But it certainly is a terrible, horrible tragedy that kind of illustrates how narrow the margin of error really is when you're talking about things of this size moving at that speed.
Speaking with Ross Kennedy, you know, the expert on this kind of stuff. Okay, Ross, can you help people like me understand? We can see in the video, as you pointed out, the ship loses power, gets it back, loses power, gets it back. But look, even my 13-year-old son, as we were discussing it this morning, said to me, well, isn't there some kind of backup system for something this big, this important, something this dangerous when it's out of control? Anything that weighs that much is essentially a nuclear bomb. Why are there not backup systems, Ross? Or are there and they failed to help us understand I'll never be on a cargo ship. Why are there not backups? Are there?
Well, so generally on a ship of this size, you'll have your primary power systems, which, you know, they're going to run off the generator, and it all runs basically like a car does. You have, you know, you have an engine, you have in a car an alternator, in a ship it's a much larger generator. It's connected to batteries. And so what the generator and the batteries do is they provide a small window of power to operate some of the mechanical systems of the ship. What they have is called a bow thruster, which is kind of like a trolling motor that goes on the front of a little fishing boat. It kind of helps swing and navigate and do station keeping for the front of the ship. But the primary power of actually moving a ship, you know, in forward and reverse is going to come off of the engine alone, because it generates such a gigantic load. These engines are massive on these ships. You know, there's a lot of YouTube videos and, you know, photos out there of just how big the power plants are on these ships. But conceptually, they're just really gigantic, you know, two-stroke engines that have a layer of things that have to go right for them to work. So when a primary propulsion goes out on a ship, you know, when you see those lights flicker on, what you're actually seeing is not the ship coming back to life fully. You're seeing those secondary, you know, emergency systems kick on that control communications, it controls radios, it controls satellite navigation, it controls some amount of the rudder capability to actually steer. But if you don't have power being put to the ship forward and back, a rudder can only turn something of that size a relatively small amount, just on the amount of, you know, water that's kind of flowing over that rudder at reducing speed. And at that size, you know, it's a 95,000 ton ship, when it's fully laden. This is an enormous amount of weight. It's moving through water. It was going about 7.5-8 knots, so a little over 8.5, almost 9 miles per hour. That's a lot of steel crashing into a fixed object. And inertia physics just kind of takes over. So at that speed, the bow thruster is not going to be able to do anything really, other than maybe kind of sort of get you turned at a couple degrees in that distance. So it was simply a function of things went wrong at the wrong time, and to whatever cause they may have gone wrong. Ships lose primary power for a lot of reasons. You could have mechanical issues inside the engine. You could have a fire in the engine room. You could have had a guy in the engine room that was supposed to be on the watch for the engine, and he turned the automatic monitoring systems on and went to bed. It was almost 1:30 in the morning. Now, those engine rooms are supposed to be manned until basically they're in open water. They're away from anything. But that, you know, again, that comes back to the human error. If whether you're in a plane, an operating room, or on a big ship of that size, if the 20, 25 people involved in the chain of custody of how that ship operates don't all do their job to the letter of the process, these kinds of things can happen. So we don't know what we don't know yet, but there are a lot of human error and mechanical reasons this could happen completely absent of any sort of foul play. And the systems on the ship simply can't, the backup systems can't power an engine and a propeller shaft and a screw that can move that much weight that quickly just on their own with the relatively small battery packs that they have that are kind of designed to just, you know, do ancillary or kind of station keeping things while the engine's off. They're certainly not designed to move a big thing forward and backwards at speed.
Ross, I'm going to say something, and please, obviously, as you know, brother, you're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, but I had someone tell me this morning, someone who knows a little bit about this stuff, that a ship of that size, that there's probably not a bridge in the world that could withstand a collision of a ship that size. It's just, no, mankind can't make something that can stand up to something that size. So my question is, if he's correct about that, do we, as the American people, do we regularly cross over bridges that have ships going underneath them that could take out the bridge if this happens? My question is, why does this not happen all the time? This is horrifying, and I'm not even a guy who's scared of bridges. I love bridges.
Well, if you live in a coastal port town that has a major maritime port, you know, so that's going to be Houston, you know, in the Gulf, it'll be Houston, New Orleans, Mobile, you know, Tampa, you know, and then obviously along the eastern and western seaboards as well. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're going to be doing that. And the fact that these issues are so rare is a testament largely to A, the regulatory processes that we have in the United States, you know, I spent 30 minutes griping about it on the Spaces this morning with John Conrad and Samer Colliano talking about this exact thing, where it is a very complex web of regulation, safety protocols, maintenance, inspection, certifications, but it's designed to prevent this type of thing. Generally speaking, most crews, most captains do not want to be responsible for being the reason that some amount of lives are lost, that you have a you know, what could turn into hundreds of millions or multi-billion dollar economic disaster for, you know, for Baltimore, for that kind of corridor of Maryland, Washington, D.C., to kind of rely on that particular terminal to bring things in and out of the U.S. So everybody kind of tries to do their jobs, but bad things happen at the worst times. And when you're talking about something of this size and where the laws of physics are simply working against you, they happen big. And, you know, the Ever Given in the Suez Canal, what was that, a little over 3 years ago, same sort of deal, right?
Yep.
You have a mix of things happening where human error, mechanical error, nature, you know, everybody is kind of an adversary of a ship, and they all get a vote in the worst moment, and things can spin out of control. But the fact that these happen so few times is a testament to, broadly speaking, how well designed the ships are, how professional the captains and the crew are, you know, the necessity of the safety and regulations that we have, the really good work that the Coast Guard does, and, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers and kind of interfacing with the maritime community to prevent these. But yeah, you know, physical things will break at some time. And when they do, we're talking about things that are so big and so powerful that, like you said, we cannot build bridges. You know, the question's been, well, they're dolphins, right? And dolphins is the industry term for really big, you know, steel, rubber, mechanical devices that are kind of offset from things that are vulnerable to a collision. But no matter how well you design them, those can break. Or you can hit them at the wrong angle and still punch through them and you know, still hit the thing they're supposed to protect. And yeah, a lot of things went wrong here. We don't totally know yet what they are, outside of some pretty informed speculation, guys like me that have been doing this 20 years, others that, you know, have sailed on ships for a long time. But it also illustrates A, vulnerabilities, and B, that where human error, where mechanical failure did come into play, how do we reinforce those things and make sure that hopefully they never happen again, or if they do, the damage is much more limited.
Yeah. Amen. Ross, thank you, brother, for making us smarter tonight. We all needed a heavy dose of that reality. There's a lot of craziness out there today. I appreciate you very much. All right. Now, let's deal with a tragedy, something I probably should have let off with at the beginning of the show, that's not related to Baltimore and bridges. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Before we talk about that, let's deal with this. Let's deal with your pain. The aches and pains that come with life. Your neck hurts, your back hurts, your muscles hurt, your joints hurt, your hands hurt. Things begin to hurt. It's fine. It's life. How we deal with it is what matters. We generally, I'm pointing fingers at me, have dealt with this the wrong way. What's the wrong way? You grab a pill bottle. Hey, give me the ibuprofen. I just take a few more of these. Let me just liquefy my liver real quick. We don't need to do that. We need to stop doing that. What we need is a natural solution. We need to help our body's natural response to inflammation. That's what Relief Factor is. helping your body's natural response. What they sell is 3-week quick start kits. You take it every day for 3 weeks. If you still are in that same kind of pain, don't order it again. For some reason, almost everyone comes back and keeps ordering it because it works. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. All right, I probably should have led the show with this, but the bridge collapse is such a big thing, and I wanted to make sure we got a chance to talk to Ross and learn about shipping stuff, so I had to wait on this. By the way, if you missed Ross, if you missed any of that, remember the whole show is podcasted, iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. I probably should have led the show with this, but it is what it is.
We lost another cop. Gunned down by another piece of trash. NYPD officer Jonathan Diller got shot during a traffic stop by a guy who's been arrested more times than you can possibly count. Wife, young child, will never see dad again. Dad's never coming home again. And I brought this up because I wanted to remind you that the things we talk about when you're discussing politics, power, really, like we like to talk about it like it's power because that's what it is. When you're discussing power, who has it with friends, family, me, whatever, there are lives at stake. What has happened to America's cities is so incredibly sad and enraging. Sitting back and watching as the animals take these places over and knowing that these are the clowns who run our cities.
Everyone knows that New York City is the Athens of America. It's the Istanbul of America. It's the Keys of America. It's the soul of America. We are the Tel Aviv of America. New York City is the Islamabad of America. The Zagreb of America. We are the Lima of America. New York City is Mexico City of America. This is the Dublin of America, New York City.
That was courtesy of John Campbell. By the way, I want to make sure he gets credit. We just have the most craven, embarrassing people running this country. They're either evil or they're embarrassing. And it's so sad that it results in people dying. Another 2 people killed in the subway, dying. People dying all over, and the biggest scumbags on the planet run our country. I hate it. It drives me crazy. All right. It drives me crazy. All right. We're going to move on, and we're going to start talking about other things because somebody ate someone's leg, and we're going to address that. Dome is getting involved in the Israeli invasion. We're actually going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment, just touching on it for what it means for American politics. There were abortion arguments heard today in front of the Supreme Court. Sounds like we're probably going to lose that one. We're going to address that. Office vacancies, America needing power. Let me address this first, though. Let me address your privacy, your data. You know why all these companies want you to put in your email address now when you go buy some lumber somewhere? It doesn't matter what you do. Give me your email address. What's your phone number? Why is that? Why do they do that? Because your data is power for these people. The more they know about you, the more money and power they can acquire for themselves. It's not just corporate America. It's the government as well. What are you doing to protect your data? Your phone, your cell phone, it has your entire life on it. Your laptop has your entire life on it. Get a silent bag and protect your information. Signal blocking Faraday bags so your phone doesn't hand out all your information while it sits there. SLNT.com/Jesse gets you 15% off. All your devices need to be in a silent bag. So go get one. All right. All right. All right. Steal what's, hey, Jesse, my Democrat buddy was recently told me this. He said, I don't like talking to you because you make so much sense. And I want to believe what I want to believe. Sounds like a guy intensely committed to staying in his cave. If you have half the country committed to staying in the cave, how can we ever turn this around? We were talking about this. Speaking of the cave, maybe you missed the show, but we were doing Plato's cave allegory. And I thought, look, it's about the headiest thing I've ever done on this show or ever will do on the show. Essentially, we were talking about the communist and how he lives in a world of make-believe and how he wants to live in a world of make-believe. Jill Biden got up today. She said this.
History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly, subtly, silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law. Before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe. One group of people loses their right.
Okay, so liberal Aunt Peggy believes she's fighting Nazis. Your friend, he doesn't want you to tell him the truth. Do you have people in your life like that? When you discuss politics, they shun you, walk away, tell you to stop. Let's talk about that next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.